What up, though?
What's good?
What up? Shay came back. She must like us.
Not really. Not really.
Not bribery with food. Dang! Well, I'm him and G, co-host Jeff No Chaser. And we have Shay, because she's back in the build. I think she got the bug.
She might do.
No, I ain't got the bug.
I think she got the podcast book, cause she been on like three shows consistent. It's like a third week. Yeah, she been doing three straight.
I might be more than that.
Consecutively?
Okay, yeah. You're right.
Consecutively.
Man, we feed you too much, huh, bro?
Hey, look. So we in the building. We talking about decoding the family generational curse. We trying to go ahead and move away from
that's
that.
What we talking about?
We talking about generational curses today, my baby.
Oh shit!
You didn't get the memo?
Her shit almost happened like that other lady shit. No, but I'm with it. Generational.
Yeah, he didn't get the memo. He didn't get the memo. He didn't get the memo.
Blind reaction.
So. All right, so we're going to go ahead and get to these stats. I brought some stats along with me.
Of course you did.
Of course. I mean, I can find stats on anything. I'm a stat master. Okay? Mm-hmm. Look, if I was playing Dungeons & Dragons, I had the highest stats. Because I'm a stat master. You know? All right, so I want to start off by actually just giving a definition of generational curse. Because I think that when we look at generational curse, I think sometimes we look at, like, the negative stuff, like jail and, you know, pregnancy and all stuff like that. But generational curse doesn't always necessarily have to mean the negativity of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no positive either. But I think when I was looking it up, the first thing I was thinking, like, oh man, when you talk about generational curse, like, how many people go to jail? That's like family members. Like, did your dad go to jail? Did your dads go to jail? Like, was it just happening? Just everybody just going to jail? Right. So that kind of what came to mind. So I had to broaden my perspective on it.
Good job.
Good job. I love that. I'm gonna get my cookie later. And a gold star. Alright, so a generational curse is a habit or behavior that has been passed down from one generation to the next, and as a result of an ancestral belief, actions, or sins being passed down. Now, I'm gonna tell y'all another one. Exodus 25 speaks of generational sin, stating the inquisitors. Love the fathers are visited upon the son and daughters until the third and fourth generation. The concept applies that unresolved issues get handed down from generation to generation.
Okay.
Now, I got some other stuff.
There's still a curse right now.
It's still a curse. Even in the biblical sense.
Right.
It's still a curse.
Right.
It's still a curse. Okay.
Okay. Hey, you got some Bible stuff.
A study by Central Connecticut State University found that 32.8% of children of incarcerated parents end up in trouble with the law, and other research suggests that children with a parent in jail or prison are 5 to 6 times more likely to become offenders. Okay. Now, according to Resnich and Associates PC, 75% of children with one incarcerated parent will end up in prison themselves. Now,
I can see that.
Now, I got something else for you. There is a such thing called third generation curse. Okay. Mm-hmm. A phenomenon where health and success accumulated by one generation are lost or squandered by the third generation, according to wealthfactory.com.
Health?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's what they said. Okay. Now, in conjunction with that, according to Business Week, 40% of family-owned businesses passed down to second generation. 40% of family-owned businesses passed down to the second generation. 13% to the third generation, and 3% to the fourth generation and beyond. Only 30% of families survive the transition from the first to second generation of ownership, and 12% survive the transition from second to third generation. The average lifespan of a family-owned business is 24 years, and 13% of family-owned businesses remain in the family over 6 years.
I can understand that.
Okay. Now, last fact, we're gonna jump into the questions.
he looked for real.
Get y'all something to think about.
He make sure that page is full.
No, don't. Be quiet. Children of incarcerated parents may face many threats to their emotional and physical education and financial well-being, including psychological problems, antisocial behavior, and children of incarcerated parents are at higher risk of depression and aggression. So, you know, my first question is what do y'all think about those stats?
I mean, there's a lot to
process.
But one, I can't remember all of it.
active listening skills.
Hey, it can be active, whatever.
You see how I get triggered about my stats?
My brain had paused after the second
one. I'm a data person, okay?
I don't believe that second. Well, isn't it? I mean, like the second to last one.
Okay.
The last one's kind of hard to believe because you said it's they what was the little issues that they come out with? Say the issues again.
Oh, so they children of incarcerated parents may face many threats to their emotional, physical, education, and well-being, including psychological problems, antisocial behavior.
I don't believe that part.
Okay.
Antisocial behavior.
Okay.
I do.
You do?
I do.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Okay. Why do you agree?
Because I know a few people whose parents were in prison, mm-hmm. and they were kind of, you know, standoffish,
mm-hmm.
and or even so, they more so cling to females versus males when we were younger. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Or they're clinging more so to the teacher than their classmates.
I think that's just them looking for what they were missing at home. I don't think that's just because it's I don't think it's that. I just think the reason why they do that is because their mother or their father been gone for 5 years, mm-hmm. and if you got daddy talking to you and teaching you, it's a harder, more aggressive teaching. And if you got mama at home, it's more soft, feminine. So maybe they don't know how to come at a male, another male, or if they with their father, they don't know how to take criticism the right way. Instead of taking it in like, okay, he telling me something right and I need to listen, or maybe I should, he's thinking like his father, like, I ain't gotta listen to the fuck he say. I'm my own man. Now if his mama teaching him, he gonna be more like, why is this man talking to me? My mama already taught me everything. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So it's not, I think it's more towards if you got a cousin, an older cousin, mm-hmm. or an older friend,
right,
that can step in and be that father figure while his father locked up, or that mother figure while his mama locked up. I don't think it's because he just like, oh, I'm standoffish toward everybody because I'm mad at the world. He mad, but it's just he don't know how to get it out. You know what I mean? He don't know how to
express himself.
You can use that, or you can say he don't know how to communicate. Because who's there teaching him was one parent.
Well, not trying to get gender bias or anything, but I mean, whether it's a boy or a girl, I feel like that if the child has witnessed the parent going to jail, and I think that's kind of like, with the stats are not really, can I lean to it, like whether the child witnessed their parents going to jail or were they in jail and then the kid had to be born and just know that your child is in jail. And that could have a different effect because, my father is here or my mother is here, and now all of a sudden the police is taking them away and disrupting, you know, that leaves some kind of form of trauma. Yeah. And in that trauma, that could create antisocial behaviors, that could create some type of aggression, because I had to witness my parent being drugged out of the house and taken away. And now my whole world is turned upside down, because maybe that was the only parent that they had.
I think it would show aggression towards police more, because the police is the one taking them away. But as far as like everybody else, I guess because he mad or she mad. I mean, I can't say, because I always had both parents. I'm not gonna lie. You know what I'm saying?
So let's look at it. Everybody can witness this. So let's look at it from the standpoint of deportation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you got the kids that are staying because they were born here, so that make them, you know, legal aliens, so to speak. But for the ones that are not born here and they kind of came over, they're illegal, working under the table. Mm-hmm. Once ICE finds out about them, they deport them, but the kids stay here. Maybe go live with auntie. Maybe go into the system.
I mean, I can see. A kid hating the world for that.
Yeah.
Because that's the government doing. So he can't really hate the government. So he hates the whole everybody around him. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I can see that, because it's USA, you know, I mean, Michigan, whatever. And the government come and take your parents. You can't be mad at nobody but everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. Because you got to think about it. Because not only do they get pulled from their house, okay? Mm-hmm. So now, you know, I know police officers that are a problem, okay? Mm-hmm. Or federal government that are a problem. So then you go to federal government, you go into the police custody, local police custody. So you go from local police custody into child protective services. Mm-hmm. So now you're dealing with all these different facets of people that all have their rules.
Different ways.
Of how they're going to approach something. Mm-hmm. And by the time you get to child protective services, ain't no telling what kind of social worker. And then they go ahead and they put them into foster care. And you don't know, and depending on the state, the type of foster care it is, whether it's one of them foster homes or they kind of place them with an actual family.
I think it's all fucked up regardless, because I don't think people look after people no more.
No.
I think people look after checks. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They look at the checks.
I mean, that's a fact. That's a fact.
I don't think people look at the people or kids to say, you know, I'm going to take this child in. His parents gone. He needs some type of loving. Some people do.
Yeah.
But a lot of people say, I'm going to take this kid in because I want a new car. I want to upgrade my lifestyle. I think that's fucked up, because
On top of that, I can honestly say that I witnessed when I was younger, and you know, I don't care what person thinks about what I'm about to say, but you know, I worked at one of my cousin's homes, or whatever. She had homes for, you know, disabled kids, whether it's, you know, mental, physical disability. And I've sat there, you know, 13, 14 years old, you know, one of the little kids. I think it's in like a little four or something like that. I can't remember how the numbers go. Mm-hmm. But you know, he couldn't talk or anything like that. And he broke one of the TVs and breaks up that little boy. And I was sitting there, I was like, I didn't know what to do. Like, I was shook. I'm gonna be like, so this is what happens in homes? I know he can't talk or anything like that, but as a teenager, you kind of looking at, you ain't never seen it before, because you like, who do I report this to? Like, is this normal? You know, and I mean, like, lashing, like, whipping his ass with just reaching back with the belt and just going at him. And I feel bad afterwards. I'm looking like, I want to go home now.
But you can go home, but guess what? That was that kid's home. See, that's my thing. If older people and mentally disabled people, foster kids, all that have to stay in somewhere where we go in and work.
Yeah.
We still treat it like work instead of treating it like their house.
Another passion.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? We should treat it like that's their house, because it is their house. People are paying rent. You know what I'm saying? That's they pay out, some people pay out of their pocket for that.
Right.
And I think if anybody was to hurt the elderly in that situation or kids or anything, me personally, I'm not speaking for nobody else, but me personally, I think they should get strung up. And I think 110
should I stop you before you continue?
No. I think 110 people should get a good open shot to their chest. Fist. A good 155 men. Yep. Straight shot chest. That's what I think. Me personally.
Whether it's a man or a woman.
If it's a woman, I'll do 175 women.
175.
Some women don't know how to punch. Some women don't know how to punch.
You know how to punch.
I said some.
I had to ask the question like Shay, do you know how to punch?
I'm just saying, man, because you hurting a defenseless person.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? I think you're a whole ass person for hurting a defenseless person. So why shouldn't you be defenseless against somebody else?
I get it.
That's how I feel.
So let me ask y'all this. You know, keeping on the idea of, you know, generational curses. But do you believe in the generational curses as stated? So we talk about the third generational curse and the generational curses in their life.
I'm gonna have to say.
Shay, before you respond, because I feel, in my sense, I know that, you know, my dad had me at 21, and then I repeated the same actions I had on my son.
Well, you're just a horny ass teenager. I mean, young. That's all that was. That's not a generational curse. That's just, oh, I can't believe you.
Before it to happen at 21.
You was just horny.
You can say that. I mean, there's one perspective.
Generational curse.
Thank you.
You just didn't wrap up. Shit, you should have wrapped up at 21.
There. You know, I'm sorry. It wasn't a male there to tell me to wrap up. I had to figure that out from commercials on TV and stuff.
Well, you should have stayed up late night before. And watch.
Okay.
Go ahead, answer your question. He don't want to listen to me.
No, I don't want to listen to you because I'm trying. It already happened. It already happened in one generation, which is me. We're trying not to let it happen in the second generation.
I got you.
You see what I'm saying? No.
Go ahead, ask the question. So exactly, I'm muscle
moving.
Are you gonna finish?
No, I'm good now.
Go ahead, Shay. Hey, you say I got a man.
Do you believe in generational curses?
Some of them that you stated, I do agree with, and then some of them I don't agree with. But you read a lot, so I don't remember.
What? Look, I can reread it. Not the whole thing.
Reread the first one.
The first one states that a generational curse is a habit or behavior that is passed down from one generation to the next and is a result of an ancestor's belief, actions, or scenes passed down.
Yes, I do agree with that one. However, just for example, a family friend.
Right.
She grew up in our neighborhood or whatnot, and once she found out, like, she was adopted.
Okay.
Once she found out who her real family was, then her mind started to wander, and then she started to do the things that she found out her mama did. Mm.
You
want to
be a hooker, was it?
No.
Okay.
Stripper?
No.
Wait a minute.
She wanted to take a deal question.
She was on drugs.
Okay.
So you say she found out that
her mama was a drug addict and gave up her.
Okay.
And so she she did with her. She followed the footsteps of her mother, mm-hmm. as far as the drug aspect, mm-hmm. but she didn't want to give up her child like her mama gave up her. So she cut that generational curse out.
Can I be me?
Yeah.
I don't think that was a generational curse. I just think she just picked the shit up and was like, fuck it. And in my eyes, her mama did the right thing by giving her up, like, look, I can't take care of no kids. I need these drugs. She said, fuck it, I'm me and the baby gonna be out here. That's kind of fucked up, baby. I'm about to be a baby, you gonna be hungry.
Oh my god.
Am I wrong? Cause she kind of bold for not giving the kid up.
I should have said no.
I'm just saying, she and her mother, I applaud her mother. You know what I'm saying? Because like you said,
it wasn't her decision.
But either way it goes, her kid got took it, period. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And as far as you know, or she know, before she found out who her mother was, you know, she was doing pretty good then, right? And then she
you see what's on her face?
Yeah, like, shit, not really, but
you see what's on her face, right?
Well, she was doing better.
From what I can see, she was.
Okay.
I really don't know what was she doing.
In the household.
On the inside.
I understand that. But when she found out who her mother was, I guess she was like, fuck it. So my mom was like, I'm going to show everybody how I am for real. Mm-hmm. I think it was more, me personally, I think it's a mindset, bro.
Really?
Because if you hiding it this long and then kind of find out this how your mother was, I'm just like my mom, I guess. You know what I'm saying? I guess I'm just like my mom. So you should have got your baby up in here, even though your mother, even though you probably got taken from your mother, mm-hmm. or your mother gave you up. Regardless, your mother didn't come back and try to get you back. So you had a chance to make it. And you chose to go down that way because you didn't see your mother doing it.
Or it could just be in her DNA. She could be.
You know,
like heart disease and cancer, that is DNA. That is in your DNA.
But drugs is not in your DNA.
Well, you don't know when she was on drugs.
Yeah.
Was she on drugs before the pregnancy, after the pregnancy, during the pregnancy?
Still in her system. A drug
can't be a part of your DNA. It can be in your system as you're born, yes.
Well, hold on. We're not about to get into the idea of evolution. I'm not even about to go into the realm of evolution.
I'm just saying. I think it's kind of a... Just a little bit.
I would agree with you on mindset.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
mindset,
about. Yeah.
But at the same time, I do feel like that, you know, there is a genetic code that's like, because it's
fuck up.
Okay, so let's look at it. If she would have never met her parents or whatever, never met her mom, she probably would have never dealt drugs. She probably wouldn't have did them.
She
wouldn't, as long as she did without doing them.
Exactly.
Okay.
So then
when she met her mom, guess what? Something in that DNA and that code was like, boom.
Like, what if she was just hanging out with somebody and then they had them and then she just wanted to try? And then boom. This is before she met her mom.
So then that means she got the DNA for experimentation.
DNA
or mindset?
It's all genetics.
Man.
No, your mindset is not genetics. Mindset is something that you say, I'm gonna do this. That's mindset. You make your mind up to what you're gonna do. DNA is some shit like, all right, my old dude had heart complications, and I started having heart complications at a young age. Okay, that's in my DNA. Okay. Or diabetes. You know how they go, you go to the doctor and like, do anybody in your family got diabetes or high blood pressure? That's DNA type shit.
Yeah.
Not cocaine. They don't be like, hey, anybody snort cocaine in the last 30 years? You know what I'm saying? No, I mean, it's a mindset, man. Only on that tip. I don't talk about everything else.
Okay, I'm just saying.
I can't.
He like, I'm on DNA. He on mindset. It's a mindset thing. I'm like, it's a DNA thing.
It's a mindset.
It's a mindset choice.
Yeah.
Everybody has choice.
Facts.
You know, everybody has choices. Because we can definitely say that, you know, my father went to jail. Then I went to jail. Then my son went to jail. Now you got three generations in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would you say, now you can.
You
that's
she was quick with
it. Yeah, why
are
you coming
to
me?
She was quick with it. I couldn't even get that out. She was like, that's what I said.
I knew he was going to ask that. I knew he was going to. Let me tell you something. Look, me sitting here, I heard him setting up that statement. I promise you. That's not a mindset. That's not a generational curse. That is what you call being black. Oh, being a black man.
But what if it's not a black man?
I'm
going to
tell you why.
But what if it's not a black man, though? Yeah. What if it's a white person? What if it's white collar crimes?
If it's white collar crimes?
Yeah, you know white collar
crimes. They
going to jail? I was saying. What the fuck did you say with being black, folks?
Because you used you and your family.
I didn't necessarily use me. I was talking in general.
In general, it's just you don't have, you just got your father. Your father's not general, I'm just saying.
I mean, it's like a family of safe crackers and bank robbers. Like,
well, that they whole family not going to do that because it's not in their DNA. It's not. They're not put in a situation to say, this is what I have.
I really started to feel like we on opposite ends of this conversation.
We are. Matter of fact, we are. Me personally, I don't know why. It's to me, it's not a hate race thing. But it is a race thing.
Okay.
I think me personally, once again, this is not everybody thinking. I think different. If you're put in the hood,
right?
If you're growing up in the hood,
yeah,
and your hood don't have your hood don't have the outreach that you need to get out the hood. You have your illegal, and you have the legal. Nine times out of ten, when you go to school, you get into a fight or something, you go and get friends. Okay. It could be a gang. It could be just you and your boys. So I think when you're put in a situation that you really can't win from, you do sometimes go the illegal way and get incarcerated. It's not a generational curse. It's just a generational poorness.
Okay.
If you poor, you got to eat something. You have to make money to go do something.
But how did he know to turn to the street, though?
Once again,
somebody in his family go out there.
It's not a curse.
It's a mindset.
It's a mindset
to make it happen, regardless of whether it's legal or not legal.
Basically. Yeah, so it's a mindset. You can't say it's a curse because it's a lot of young black kids that was in the hood that didn't go do that because they set their mind to on them books and they got up out there through school. And then it's a lot of young black people out here, young black guys who see all the drug dealers that look good. And they want that money now.
Okay.
So it's I don't think it's a curse. It's just what we see, we go after.
Shit, I feel like he has something you want to say.
She always got something she wants to say.
Because you say you don't agree.
I don't, because so me, for example, I never seen nobody, you know, go the legal way and, you know, get their money. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like nobody in my family that I know of,
mm-hmm.
Went out there and did things illegal. You know what I'm saying? So of course it's not gonna be a curse, but say in your household, not saying it is, mm-hmm. but saying in your household, you seen your father out there hustling illegally.
Mm-hmm.
You're incarcerated now,
mm-hmm.
and you following in his footsteps. It's still a mindset?
Yeah, it's a mindset. Because you don't, if you, let's say, if I see that and like, that ain't the route I want to go. I want to be better than my father. So if I set my mind to doing being better, then that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be better. I'm going to focus on my books. But if I say, if I want that fast money,
you need that money for the books.
If I need the money for the books, then it's always bad. It's always other ways.
You're talking to your father, and your father like, well, you know, you can do this and do that to get your books.
That's when your mind got to be strong and say, I don't want to be where you're at. It's been a lot of kids that's in that situation. They be like, no, I'm not doing that. They try to break the hood curse.
A generation.
No, it's not a generational curse because everybody in the hood is doing it. It's a hood curse.
So there's not a generational curse, but it's a hood curse.
It's a hood curse. Because if it was generational curse, I'm put you like this.
Okay.
We take my family, for example. My mother and father. They was in the church. They wasn't bothering now. They wasn't doing nothing. Mm-hmm. They've been in the church all my life.
Okay.
Look at my brother.
Hold on, wait.
I mean, I'm just saying.
When we say all your life, that's all your known life.
Yes.
But what about prior to that?
Prior to my life?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't. Once again, my mother wasn't into the streets like that.
Okay.
Even before me, my mother wasn't no street type woman. She'd go to the clubs, you know, party, you know, drink, whatever. And go back home. She wasn't no street. She had 13 brothers. That was like, no.
Right, okay.
But my old dude, I don't know. Never met him.
So basically, because, you know, you got 5 plus X equals C, you missing pieces of the puzzle to even have an actual answer about generational curse. Because think about it.
I know what you're about to say.
No, you know.
Yes, I do.
No, you know.
I just threw it out, man. You about to just scoop it up, bro. I don't want him to talk because I know what he's gonna say. I rather him say it.
What's I gonna say? What am I saying?
I don't know.
You can't say nothing because C equal Y and X is Q. B is upside down and right is left.
You know,
so you can't say nothing. You don't know how you want. You're right. I don't. You're absolutely right. But at the same time,
right? I think the whole mindset principle you're trying to put out there,
man,
it is because it can't be.
All
right.
I mean, think about it.
If it's not a mindset, so you telling me everybody in the hood is selling drugs? Everybody that in the hood?
I'm not saying everybody in the hood is selling drugs.
They done seen an uncle, brother, somebody.
So even the Caucasian folks. So they done seen their fathers embezzle money. They done seen their uncles embezzle money and all that stuff. Is that what y'all saying?
They had to see somebody do it.
That's the whole purpose of investment. You don't know about it. You should know because you don't want to go to jail.
But eventually,
what if his father said to him down, like, I need to take over this business. This is how I did it. I need you to follow.
It could be. But once again,
they
could say no. They could say no.
They could.
Why would I want to say no? And I see my dad out here with these nice cars. I see my dad going to fancy restaurants, nice cufflinks, nice suits,
But it's a lot of people that don't want that.
Yeah.
Headache.
Well respected out where
nah, they not well respected. They just.
I'm just saying.
Oh, well respected. Well respected criminal. You might be right about that. I don't believe it is. I'm just saying me. You're right. You're absolutely right. I'm gonna go with them on this one. Bullshit. I don't care. It's 13 against one. I'm gonna stand my ground. My man said I'm standing on business, man.
All 10 toes.
I got at least 9.
All right. So does the 75% seem overestimated? Now, when I'm talking about the 75%, I'm talking about 75% of children with one incarcerated parent end up in prison themselves.
Okay. Since I'm always wrong, is it in the DNA? I believe that.
I don't think I can believe.
I don't think that it's that high of a number, but
I don't think. I mean, if we're looking at one law firm statistics, it could just be for that particular area.
I agree
that they're doing their servicing. I don't think that accounts for all of America. I think because for all of America, it'll actually be lower.
Then again, it would be higher. We never know. But, I mean, sure. my thing is this. If you see one of your parents go to jail, does that automatically mean you're going to jail? No, that's not what that means. That means that's the court.
For some, it could be motivation.
To do something else.
Correct.
I agree with you 100%. That's a fact.
So,
what I was saying earlier, but go ahead. I mean,
in that mindset, do you think that if a child has seen a parent hauled off of jail, should that child have a, should you make trials with the child for them to see their parent in prison to remain and keep that connection?
Wait, how old is the child first?
I didn't know. Let's go with a span of ages. Let's go through three different age groups. So let's say 4, 9 and 15.
4? No. 9?
No. I feel like 4 and 9, you could have them write a letter or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not more so let them go to the prison.
Why not?
9-year-olds nowadays are smart as fuck.
True. And then 14-year-olds, they look at it like, oh, dang, my dad in prison. I
want
to be like him.
Yeah.
Or my mom in prison. I want to be like her.
Right, but that's the parent to say, you don't want to be sitting here with like I am.
How many of these kids listen to their parents in prison?
That's a fact. Any kid that's been born at the 2000s is different.
What you mean by that?
They different, bro. Y'all different. I'm not saying all y'all. A lot of y'all different. Y'all retarded. I mean, y'all stupid. A lot of y'all. I'm not saying you. You are an exception. Okay? You are an exception.
Right.
What you trying to say?
A lot of y'all 2000 kids, man, is different.
Y'all. Yeah. Well, the issue I see with, and just jump on top of the issue I see with, you know, those generation kids is that, their leniency of being able to put two and two together and figure things out, there is no analytical skill there. Like, from my experience, there is no analytical skills. Like, to be able to say, okay, this is one and this is one, I can create two out of this. They see this is one and say, okay, I see the one right there, but
I believe that's all.
I don't know.
That's it.
How do I bring them together?
They'll be quick to call somebody saying, look, I need help trying to get 1 + 1 = 2. I don't know.
I don't think they'll do that. They'll say, you know what? I'm going to leave that one right there. I'm going to go talk to my daddy about a car. That's what they'll do. They're not problem solvers. They are I'm gonna go get my parents. I'm gonna go talk to my mom.
It's not like they had a short attention thing.
I do too, but shit, I still work stuff. I mean, because
when I think about it, again, off topic, when I think about it, and I think when we were younger, we had to figure things out.
That's because our mom and daddy was like, go figure it out.
Every time.
I'm not doing this. Well, figure it out.
The chain slip on your bike.
Figure out how to fix it.
You and your homeboys around the bike like,
all right, man, let's go. Hold on. My finger! Because I know plenty of people that got that whole skin pulled off me.
Man.
But now, my son got a bike. His air mounted tire. He put that motherfucker in the garage for the whole summer. Didn't say nothing. I said, why are you riding a bike? Oh, I just don't want to. Come back next summer. He just ran the tire. I'm like, oh, you want to ride it now? He's like, yeah. I ain't want to ride it now. I'm talking to the air with him. I said, dude, all you gotta do is put the air pump on and push down. Can we just take it to the gas station and blow it up? I said, hell no. Nah, get the pump. What the hell I look like? But back on subject.
Back on subject.
That number is high as hell.
Oh, definitely. I really think that, like I said, I really think they only really talking about the state that they're in. And this goes back to a lot of statistics that I present on the show. Some of the statistics, I feel like they are overstated a little bit.
But, I mean, if you really want to look at it as far as like the law, if you give me a stat of saying 75% more black people are incarcerated than other people, I would believe that.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
I would believe that. There are a lot of false charges, right. False allegations, you know, trumped up charges.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would definitely believe that.
Just on some straight 100% bullshit.
But even if you think about it, with high incarceration rates of African Americans, regardless of what the situation is, you know, something getting planted on them, or they're in a situation where they're the victim, but then they're in a
turn out
to be
the winner. Other people hate to lose, so they call the police.
Mm-hmm. You know, in some situations, either that victim is killed,
mm-hmm.
and actually trying to relieve the situation and get away from the situation, because you know, for some reason, you know, black people are looking at it as more aggressive and
mm-hmm.
angry. And
that's a generational curse. We look angry.
Oh yeah.
That is.
It's not a generational curse for her.
That's
I mean, it's not. I know your mother. Your mother is the sweetest person. Huh? Dude, gaps up. What's up, my guy? Never met him.
He said my mom loved me too.
Your mother is the sweetest pie. She's the sweetest person I've ever
met. Your mom was. She always does have a smile.
All
even
the
when
time.
She's not smiling.
Even when she's mad, I say her smile when people.
Wow. Yeah, she's a nice person.
Yeah.
I feel like if I was homeless, I can get her for $20.
I ain't gonna say that, Max. She might throw a prayer your way.
I pray. I pray with you. I got money for you, but I pray for you.
I just don't like putting kids in a situation to make up them type of stats, because it's not the kids.
I mean, true, but you know, everybody is a number.
Yeah, that's true. Everybody's a number, but at the same time, why is that number so high? Why the number got to be so high?
Well, I can't say I believe in falsifying stats, but sometimes stats can be fudged. I'm not accusing nobody.
I am. I agree. Y'all be talking to y'all. I don't understand why y'all do that. Falsified numbers. Let's just add 10 more to that number. If y'all add 10 more to that number every day, now it's looking like 75% of the population is bad. You know what I'm saying? It went from...
Well, it's not... Well, you know what? You can't really... Okay, this is why the numbers is because it doesn't account for
any money. Let's be for let's be 100%. I guarantee you
it has nothing to do with money.
If you,
okay, I would say it has something more to do with. We talking about the generational curses, so I mean, like, how is there money in there?
Would they get paid for the website?
Yes. I know you do. So if them numbers don't look good, oh well. This would say 35%. No, because we need somebody to really look at our stuff and pull our stuff. Because more people that pull our stuff, we get paid more. Let's just bump it up to we'll say 50. Then next week it's 55. Week after that it's 75. It's all of. To me, I think them companies ain't nothing but about money, bro. That's just me, though. I understand that's not how you think. But that's just me. He know the stats. But the stats is foolish with money.
Anyways, moving on. Based on the stats provided in regards to business, does the third generation curse exist?
I don't think it's a curse. I think.
I mean, if I pass my business down to my son, he passes it down to his son, but his son is like, well, I don't want to do that. And then the business just dissolves.
I don't think it's cursed. It don't dissolve. He sells it off.
You don't even sell it because you don't know he can sell it.
I mean, do you know the Ford family is still in the Ford family?
I understand that, but that's because.
All them Fords is in the family.
I understand that, but the head of the Ford family is older. She's not young. Or he's not young, whichever one it is. Okay. They're old. They're not 30. They're not 40.
No.
They're like 60, 70. Because they know the representation that they pulling is going to get them more money. Now, let's say they give it to a 40-year-old. Okay. Now, he's sitting on all this money. He's looking good. He's flashy. Because he's going to be flashy. He owns Ford.
Right.
Football, all, everything. He got everything.
Yeah.
If somebody comes to him with a number that he think he can't get, he'll sell it. But with Ford, the ones that's 7 years old, they know they probably already invented that number and they didn't pass that number. Okay. So they're not going to sell it because they're going to keep making money for their family.
Okay.
He's going to sell it because that's number I don't think we'd better get. Okay. So guess what? All the family members minds out of work. But he's sitting nice.
Yeah, but you got the bad on this.
See what I'm saying?
I would be the first generation of the business. So if I'm the first generation of the business, I just wouldn't want to put that pressure on the next generation.
How is the pressure? You already got everything set up and they just got to be in a room. Right.
But they may not want to do it though.
If they don't want to do it, you find somebody else in your family that want to do it.
I feel like I'll show them how the business runs. And then leave it up to them. They don't want to, then okay, so be it. But don't be mad when your cousin sitting up here sitting nice.
Millions.
Because they decided to take over the business.
Exactly.
Look, all I'm saying is, I ain't trying to pass down a drug empire to nobody. We all gotta get out the game, because we got the hood curse, we black,
exactly.
You know.
100%.
What are you?
She's like,
I ain't even like yo. I'm the lightest thing in the building. What you mean?
That's a fact, though.
So,
I don't understand why we say it's a curse when how is it a curse handing down that much money? How is it a curse? It's not a curse.
I mean, no,
that's an investment. Well, he getting that whole investment.
Well, money is kind of the root of all evil.
100%.
I mean, I find it as a pleasant evil.
If you give me a couple of million, I'll be evil than a motherfucker. shower with what they call
like
me.
Like I just said, it's a curse because if Ford had a 44-year-old,
he'd be flying his head. Yeah,
don't care what the.
But is it a curse or is it he just flaunting his money? It's not a curse.
You know, I can be cursed with winning a lottery.
Man, I wish that curse wouldn't know.
I don't want no curses. I want to win a lottery, though.
He might agree with me. He's going to be like, yeah, I want that curse. Wait a minute. Now, hold on. Curse me with winning a lottery. I can tell you right now.
I don't think it's a curse when you're handing down an empire. That's an empire.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Okay. So say you were cursed to live 30 years beyond your prime.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and say your prime is 25. All right, so you'll live 30 years, so you're like 85. Mm-hmm. Right? So.
That's a curse?
Hold on.
Okay.
Let me finish. So, in your prime, in those 30 years, you amass a fortune.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But in order to amass that fortune, you're going to die at 55.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to pass it down to a willing successor. A willing successor.
Okay.
I mean, they have to take it, you know, willingly.
Right.
Okay. It can't be forced. It can't, you know, anything. They have to willingly take it. Right.
Okay.
So, would you be willing to take that curse?
And I know I die at 55.
You know you die at 55. You know at 55 you're going to die. It may not happen on your birthday, but in the realm of 55, of your 55th year. You're going to die somehow.
But if I don't take it, I still live past 55?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't take it.
Why?
Because I want to live. I want to be able to still see my family.
I mean, but you get 30 good years of, like, riches.
Yeah,
that you could pass down.
But that still don't, that don't fill my heart. That don't fill my joy.
Okay.
I'd rather be with family.
Broken happy?
I could be broken and happy with my family.
I got you.
But it'd be a long broken and happy family.
It's a possibility.
I could have, but and you still could have millions and be miserable as fuck.
You could die for it.
And die, you're exactly, you see what I'm saying?
And it's a whole 15 years.
So, exactly. Or you can get it that day and walk out and somebody shoot you and try to rob you.
Facts.
So, I'm not about money, bro. I've never been about money. You know what I'm saying? I got a little bit, you know. My wife happy. My kids happy. Spoiled, yes. But me personally?
You know, I do need a foster parent.
Bullshit.
I mean, he said he good, so.
Exactly.
Hey, take them as the
business. You guys need to share the foster kids.
So what you say? She been doing that all night. What y'all mind think about?
Ask you a question.
Anyway, I wouldn't take any.
Okay.
Same like Jeff was saying. I've never been about, you know, the money aspect of it.
Okay.
I just enjoy life.
So you would take it.
He definitely will take it.
Well, one thing I didn't mention was that you actually passed on a curse to the next generation. Because it's a generational curse.
See what I'm saying?
So, well, I gotta die for fucking because you took it.
It's a generational wealth curse.
even when you're wealthy, man, you still got problems.
I mean, of course.
I'd rather have the problems that I have now. And to be worrying about how many people stealing my money.
I mean, I won't worry about that. I'd be worried about, like, I'm about to pay for this $20,000 wood chain for this Bugatti. Do I really need that Bugatti for a $20,000 wood chain? $30,000 tires.
I don't even want no car.
And you know that? That's how much you got for a car chain?
I mean, yeah.
Like, we not put a Bugatti yet. Like, they got to take, like, 16 bolts out.
Yeah. I think it's 20.
Is that 20?
Yeah, I think it's like
10
on one side,
10
on the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah, I seen that same thing.
And you gotta train all at the same time.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't need all that, bro.
20,000 $20,000 portion. You might don't want to like Chevy.
Bro. I ain't saying nothing.
I already know what you like, the little heavy car, those heavy trucks.
Heavy truck, y'all be heavy, bro. What blow away when I'm wind blow?
That's not what I mean.
Like, you got a heavy truck. What?
I meant to say the engine is too heavy for that truck. That's what I meant to say. Nah,
it's perfect.
I mean, the only good thing about a truck, you got a lot of room in the backseat.
That's right.
And it's a bench.
That's 100% fact. Yeah. And the seats could go up, and it's almost like a bed.
I want y'all final input, you know, on this generational curse. Not the generational wealth curse that I gave y'all, you know, the trick question. But you know, the generational curse and everything, you know, what's your perspective? Do you think it exists? Do you think it not exists? You know, Shay, we're gonna go ahead and start with you.
Jeff thinks it's a mindset, but I think it's a generational curse. I definitely do believe in generational curses. Definitely being passed down to each generation. That's pretty much it. But he was saying something about the third generation.
Third generation curse?
Yeah, what was that?
So the third generation curse is basically when something is passed down from the first to the second generation, the third generation squanders it on.
Mm-hmm. He's talking about as far as business was.
It can be business, it can be wealth. Okay. And I would think of the third generation in that sense, because that's pretty much it. Applicable to businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The third generation don't even
care. Yeah. I gotta be this generation. I gotta be 2000s. My bad, bro. Let's see. I do believe in generational curses, but I also believe it's a mindset as well.
Okay.
Because for the simple fact, you can have a generational curse come down the line. You can.
Yeah.
But I also think you can stop it at any point in time, but you just gotta put your mind to it. Unless you just say, well, they did it, I might as well keep it going. Like you said, your father had you at 21, you had your son at 21.
Yeah.
You're trying to break the curse.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So you have a mindset to break the curse.
Right.
If you just say, oh, well, fuck it. He did it, I did it, might as well keep going. That's the generational curse. But since you're smarter and more advanced now, why not break the curse? Right. That's what I'm saying. It's a mindset also. Mm-hmm. Because at any point in time of male, female, parent, whoever could get up and say, look, I had you at 17. I don't want you to have a baby at 17. And the way you're going to have a baby at 17. So this is what I'm going to do. We're going to do this together. Mm-hmm. We're going to take you out of this environment and put you here or something. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I also think just because it's a generational curse, you hear it, that don't mean you have to keep falling in line. Up.
Sure.
You know how you hear people be like, oh man, it's a generational curse. It's been in my family for years. That doesn't mean you got to keep going the wrong way. It's called a curse. That means that's bad. That's not something good.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. You know, can be broken.
At any point in time, you have to have the mindset to do it. If you don't have the mindset to do it, guess what? Fall right in line with the same stupid shit.
Sure.
Once again, it's also a hood curse. That could be broken at any time too.
Right.
You just gotta get money. Wow. If they got phones coming into a hood, building it up, guess what? Now we got jobs. Guess what go away? Make the stand on the corner selling drugs.
Really?
Yeah. If you give the hood jobs, that can pay that for attic, that attic gotta go somewhere else then. Or that attic gonna be broken. You know what I'm saying? Because ain't nobody on the corner not selling drugs. Everybody got good jobs. They can feed their family. They can buy clothes. They can get cars. It can be broken. But we need help breaking it. Okay. If we don't get the help breaking it, it's going to continue. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay. No, that's a good thought that you had there.
Here we go.
What? Here we go.
Appreciate you saying that.
So, this is my thought on this, and I'm gonna kind of jump in and out.
Reality, you got it.
Don't listen, gentlemen. So when we talk about generational curses, and one thing I want to touch on is when Jeff No Chase basically stated that he said hood curses. And I can't agree with hood curses. And the reason why I don't agree with hood curses is because it's basically just oppression is what it is. It's basically systematic oppression that happens in the neighborhood of a lot of African-American people. So they cannot succeed or go beyond the means that they want to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's systematic. Now, can you come out of that system? You can. As a mother, as a father, you see what the system for what it is. Your kid can't see the system for what it is. Your child can't see it because, you know, their mind can't comprehend it at that moment. Mm-hmm. But you can, and you can create and develop them in a way where they don't have to fall into the systematic trap. They don't have to be on welfare. They don't have to get pregnant early. They don't have to be in the environment. They can't be what they were so-called the product of my environment. There is no such thing as a product of my environment because at the end of the day, it's still a choice on whether you want to stay there or not. I made an active decision to move my son to the suburbs. I didn't want to stay in Detroit. I knew what it meant to live in Detroit. I don't have anything against my city, but I knew what it meant to live in Detroit because I grew up in Detroit. I knew the experiences that I had in Detroit. And I knew from my experiences what that would mean for him, you know, being outside, hanging with other kids, and being around particular individuals, not children, individuals that may not have the same value that I'm instilling in him, and he's gathering stuff from them. You know, his circle becomes of individuals that are not like-minded, like of the values that we have. Okay, so if we put that in perspective, the reason why I moved him out to the suburbs is not only because it was cheaper, but it afforded us a better opportunity at a different type of living. And I don't think without that situation, that we would have prospered as much as we would have had we just stayed in the city and hung around the hoods, you know, got into it with the neighbors. Because I can tell you, there was one of them where me and the neighbor was about to go blow and blow. He was going to lose his life. I ain't even going to lie to you. Oh, boy, was about to get that clap, and I ain't talking about smacking hands, bro. But, you know, knowing that my father grew up in the hood and some of the things that he did in the neighborhoods, and knowing that I grew up in the hood and some of the things I did in the neighborhood, prompted me to move my son out into the suburbs. It wasn't because I hated the city. It's because that I knew of the lack of opportunities that the city had provided at that point in time. Now, Detroit made a great comeback and provided a lot of opportunities. But at the time, it wasn't a lot of opportunities there. And to kind of get away from some of those stereotypes that was being presented in the neighborhoods and that systematic oppression, I had to move me and my son out of the city. So when we talk about generational curses, it's not necessarily a generational curse in a sense of what a belief or sin or something like that is. It's more so the mindset that is traveled or given from one generation to the next. So if I have a mindset that I'm never going to be anything, and then I put that same mindset in my child's center, they're not going to be anything. They're going to turn around and put that same mindset into their child. I mean, we all seen the shows. We've seen, you know, some people that had the conversations, and the kids that have become a success, my parent promoted me, pushed me, and be all the positive things so I could succeed. But then you also hear about the ones that do the interviews when they were jail. My parents wasn't there for me. My parents always yelled at me. You know, they didn't care about what I did. They wasn't involved in my life. So you as a parent have to be the one in the forefront to make that change for that child. If you don't want that child to be in the same situation as you, you have to be transparent. You have to be honest. There's a lot of parents out there that don't want to talk about their past because they feel like their past is not for their kids to understand it. No, my past is open. My past is for my son to know, because the things that I've been through is going to be the same things that's going to guide you to get past to the same stuff that you're going to be in. Because remember, the game don't never change, only the players. So when you realize that, these people are still doing the same thing that they were doing way back in the day. They still selling drugs on the corner. People still fighting. People still killing people for no apparent reason. But you still have that mindset. You still have that energy to be able to promote and push the next generation in the right direction and not the wrong direction. Okay? So that's my piece. You know what I'm saying? That's my piece. And I didn't get as amped up as I normally do. You know, I did it in a calm fashion. Yeah. Whatever. This is MNG, Jeff, no Chasha, and our special guest, Shay, because she loves us so much. She got the podcast book, so she's going to come out and hang out with us some more. Hey, we're going to catch y'all on the next recorder. Hey, peace.
Our AV engineer fucking up. This is a little sweet.
Sweet. On the job. It was a lot of things going on. Hold on.